Welcome back. The U.S. House of Representatives late last week passed a more than $1 trillion infrastructure bill that includes more than $550 billion in new spending. For more on how machinery and transportation companies specifically are going to be impacted, we're welcoming in Cowen Director Matt Elcott. And Matt, I first want to get your take on the infrastructure bill broadly. Were there any surprises here for you in terms of what was included in this and where the spending is going to be directed?
Hi, Emily, and thanks for having me on. Not many surprises. It's fairly in line with expectations, I believe. I would say that, after the Senate approved the bill a few months ago, there was probably consensus that it would become law at some point. And then after the, infighting within the Democratic Party in the ensuing months, I would say that the consensus became near consensus. So I think the event today is that the bill was passed. So, it was a near consensus, not a full consensus. I'm sorry, Emily, what was your initial question?
Yes, just asking broadly, were you surprised about what was actually included in this bill and where the spending is actually going to be directed?
Yeah, exactly. So no big surprise about the content of the bill. The fact that I think it was near consensus before it was approved on Friday, not full consensus. As far as the impacts on the companies, I would say within our coverage of machinery and transportation OEMs, Caterpillar probably sees the most direct benefit in their North American construction industry segment. A lot of these projects will begin with, digging or filling or demolishing or flattening earth. And, that's a direct benefit to their their construction equipment segment. There will be some longer term benefits in their mining segment. You guys were speaking about the greenhouse gas emission reduction initiatives in the bill. So you're going to need copper, nickel, lithium for those initiatives long term. So that should benefit their mining equipment business. And then their transportation business, which is, they're the second largest locomotive manufacturer in North America. That should also see indirect benefits from the movement of aggregates and, building products and metals on rail.
And Matt, let's talk about some of the others besides Caterpillar. I mean, I think, Caterpillar, we think about pretty top of mind when we talk about these various initiatives. You also have some others that you mentioned in your note today. One of them is Wabtec, I believe. Talk to me about how they fit into the infrastructure package.
Mm-hmm. Well, so Wabtec, I mentioned Caterpillar is the second largest locomotive manufacturer. Wabtec is the largest locomotive manufacturer in North America because they bought GE Transportation a couple of years ago. So they'll see that indirect benefit in their rail segment. But they also have a transit business. About 35% of their total company revenue is transit. In the U.S., it's probably about 10% of their total revenue. So there are $39 billion in the bill for public transit, and there is another $66 billion for freight and passenger rail. So they'll see benefits in content in newly ordered rail cars, in rehauled rail cars. They'll see content in new locomotives. They also have a battery electric line haul locomotive. They're the first to introduce one in North America. It was tested several months ago with the BNSF. So that should be a beneficiary of some of the greenhouse gas emission reduction initiatives in the bill. Although that benefit would probably be, back-end loaded, we probably won't be able to see any material revenue, incremental revenue, for a few years from that flex drive locomotive. So Wabtec will see benefits in their transit business. They'll see benefits in their rail business. But we're not expecting anything material for anyone in our coverage until late next year or early 2023.
Matt, also just wanted to ask more broadly about some of these supply chain disruptions that, of course, have been hitting Caterpillar and a number of other industrial companies as well here. What do you make of where these companies are headed in terms of being able to navigate this? Because one of the things that they'd mentioned, it was that end user demand was still staying pretty strong here. It really is just about their ability to meet some of that demand.
That's true, Emily. I mean, the supply chain disruptions, there are some early signs of hope we've heard from some companies, but they're still pretty challenging. So I think some of this demand will be pushed out until, you know, later quarters. The risk that I worry about the most is if the supply chain disruptions persist long enough to actually cause demand disruption. You know, how much longer are you going to wait for that cash that you ordered 6 months ago? Maybe you'll, you know, the risk is you might call and say, just cancel my order. So I worry about that. But, you know, and there really isn't a great way to gauge whether there will be the demand destruction. If there's no demand destruction or material demand destruction, the cycle will be pushed out for many industrials until, you know, the second half of next year and into 2023. For instance, for the you know, class 8 build cycle, just a few months ago, 2023 for many people was a down year in the build cycle. Now 2023 is an up year, just because we took a hit in this year, and it's going to cause builds to move out to 2022 and into 2023. So I think the effect you'll see is the cycle getting pushed out to next year and into 2023.
All right, we'll leave it there. Cowen Director Matt Elcott, thank you so much.